text before us is Romans 2, beginning in verse 12. For as many as have sinned without law will also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves, their thoughts accusing or else excusing them. And the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Indeed, you are called a Jew and rest on the law, and make your boast in God, and know his will, and approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of foolish, a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge and the truth in the law, and truth in the law. You, therefore, who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say, do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written. Powerful section of Scripture, in which the Holy Spirit has inspired for the purpose of convicting hearts and bringing people to salvation. In Romans chapter 2, as we've been studying this book, we have seen that there is a judgment that is coming upon unbelievers. We see that in verse 8 it said, but to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath and tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there's no partiality with God. So our last section in our last study in Romans closed with, for there is no partiality with God. There's a judgment that comes upon unbelievers. It's a judgment that comes upon the unregenerate, those who are not born again, those who do not have faith in Christ for their salvation. And it is severe. It's eternity apart from him in hell. God makes that so clear. For us to not talk about that would be to leave out just vast sections of Scripture. Scripture's so clear as far as there are those who spend eternity in heaven, everlasting life. Those who have been washed by the blood of the Lamb, those whose faith is in the work of Christ upon the cross for their salvation. And then there's those who spend eternity apart from him in hell, where they're unable to see the glory of God. There's weeping and gnashing of teeth, the place where the fire isn't quenched, where the worm cannot die, outer darkness, blackest darkness, everlasting destruction. The contrast is as immense as it could possibly be. And so the Holy Spirit speaks through the book of Romans, through all of God's word, to teach us on these things because they matter. They are of eternal significance to us. In verse 12, it says, for as many as have sinned without law will also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. It's talking about two different types of people. When it says, for as many, there in the beginning of verse 12, know that this number is millions upon millions of people. For as many as have sinned without law will also perish without law. This number is those that we might look to here as far as the Gentiles, those that did not grow up within the law of Moses, the Pentateuch, under the Ten Commandments, wouldn't have known these things. This is a question in which, when you're talking about the wrath of God, it comes up almost always as far as, well, what about the person who has never heard the gospel? What about the person who is in the bush of Africa in which nobody has ever gone to them to proclaim the gospel to them? How could God, who is supposedly a just God, how could he send someone like that to eternity in hell when they've never even heard? All they've known is animism. I'm not even trying to say that again. Animism. They believe in worshiping nature. Why is it so hard to say that word right now? Or all they've known is Buddhism in a part of Asia, or all they've known is atheism under some type of communist country. And they might look and say, how could God do that to somebody? And yet what we find here in the book of Romans, it says, for as many as have sinned without law will also perish without law. Makes it very clear that even if they have not been under the law as far as the Old Testament law and understand these things, they still will perish. They still will be judged. We saw this a little bit in Romans chapter 1 when we studied that passage in verses 18 through 23 where it talks about, you can look there, it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. You look at this section here of Romans chapter 1, and it says God's wrath is going upon them. Because since God created everything, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. Even his eternal power, to where they have suppressed the truth. They worship the creation instead of the creator. And so he makes it clear that the wrath of God is coming upon these people, that they are, he tells us, without excuse. And so when you think about the person who is the person that's in the bush of Africa that has never heard the gospel, who maybe has not heard the law at all as far as the Old Testament, it doesn't change the fact that God is just in having his wrath come upon these people because of the fact that he has made himself clearly known and they have suppressed the truth at the very beginning of his revelation unto them to where they're without excuse. Now we look at Romans chapter 2 and it tells us that they have sinned without the law and they'll be judged. Continue to look at this as we go through our text this morning. But in that same verse, it also refers to those who have sinned in the law, that they also will be judged by the law. Here, this is referring to the Jews that lived at that time and those who have lived since. Not only them, but also to those that have grown up in a Christian home. Those who sit in churches like ours this morning. They hear the gospel. They hear God's word. They know God's word. They know what it says. They know what they ought to do. They understand what everlasting destruction is, and they understand what everlasting life is. They understand these things as far as there's a knowledge of it. There's those that lived in this particular time when this was written that would have been able to quote incredible sections of Scripture, if not Scripture in its entirety, just from their own memory. They knew God's law. They knew what it taught. But they never became followers of God. Those who grew up in the church that never became followers of God, never became followers of Christ. There was no regeneration that took place within their hearts. They continued to trust in their own righteousness rather than place their hope in the work of Christ upon the cross. And God speaks so clearly to them in this particular passage that those that have sinned in the law will also be judged by the law. Look with me at a couple of different passages. Look with me at Matthew chapter 11, verse 20. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 20, Jesus is rebuking these cities which he has gone to. Verse 20 says, then he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done, because they did not repent. He said, woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say to you, it would be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say to you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. A heavy, heavy rebuke that comes upon these cities. Jesus is saying, you saw mighty works, incredible works as far as what I did in those cities. You knew God's law. You knew what was taught in Scripture. You understood the Pentateuch. You understood the Ten Commandments. You understood what I've done throughout history. And not only that, but you've seen all that I have done as far as healing lepers, healing, making the blind able to see, hey, making people who were lame able to walk, rising, causing people to rise from the dead, making people who were deaf able to hear, making people who were mute able to speak. They saw all of these things, and yet Christ says, woe to you, you did not repent. There was so much knowledge that you had, and yet you did not repent. It would be better for those who are in Sodom than it will be for you. It would be better for those who were destroyed at Sodom and Gomorrah than it will be for you. Look with me at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. Hebrews 10, 26. It says here in Hebrews 10, 26, for if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I bring up these passages for the purpose of understanding that there are two types of unbelievers. Some who understand the law and some who have no knowledge of the law at all. There's two different types of unbelievers. There's those who have grown up hearing all of these things and yet still have hearts that are incredibly hard towards the gospel. And there's those who have never known it all as far as the gospel message. And yet, God says that his wrath will come upon both of them. You're here within our church. You're not in the deepest parts of Africa. You're not in an area where you've never heard the gospel at all. It's a fearful thing for me to think that there could be people who are within our church right now who come every week, maybe because a spouse wants them to come, maybe because a parent demands that they come, maybe because they just think that this is something that they ought to do. It's just something we should do, church. We should go to church. And yet, to this day, you still do not trust in Christ and his work upon the cross for your salvation. There's a knowledge that is there of what all of these things say, and yet your heart just grows harder and continues in its state of unrepentance. You maybe think that you're okay because you look at your life and you say, I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. But there's no love for Christ. Just love for Christ, for the fact that he died on the cross and took every sin ever committed upon himself and gave you his righteousness. There's nothing that makes it so you look and say, all of my hope is in him. You still just are in a place of, I think I've done enough. Trusting in your own righteousness. Trusting that you know these things. And because you know these things, you think that you do these things. But those that are around you might say the opposite. It's a very difficult thing for me to do a funeral where you meet with the family and they say something like, I know this person knew. I know they understood the gospel. But I didn't see any fruit in their life at all. There was no fruit. Scripture tells us, God says, by their fruit you'll know them. By the fruit, you'll know them. You'll know that there's those who belong and are part of God's people because the Holy Spirit is inside of them and they have been regenerated and all of their hope is in the work of Christ upon the cross. And there has been a change that's taken place in their life where it doesn't mean that you're not sinning. It doesn't mean that you don't fall into sin, but there's a hatred for sin and a desire for repentance and a desire for holiness. And there's fruit that comes from your life because you're a believer and the Holy Spirit has made you to where you're gifted in certain ways and there's fruit that comes forth from your life. There's a change that has taken place. But I guarantee you that the people that he's referring to here in Romans chapter 2 are those that would have looked upon themselves and said, we are okay. Because we know all of these things. Let's continue to look at our text. He says, for not the hearers of the law... go back to Romans 2:13. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. It's not just those who have heard the law. It's not where it's just you've heard it, therefore you're okay. But the Holy Spirit says, no, it's not them, it's the doers of the law that are justified. It's those who have heard and their faith is totally and completely in God. Totally and completely in Christ. Those who have heard God's word and they look and they say, apart from him, I could do nothing. And they look and they say, all of my hope is in him. I want to please him. I want to honor him. I want to obey his commandments. I want to have fruit come from my life because of what it is that he has done for us. It's not the hearers of the law that are just in the sight of God. It's not those who attend church, but the doers of the law that are justified. A powerful passage is in Matthew chapter 7. See what happens when I try to talk fast. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Let's turn there for a second. Matthew 7, verse 21. Matthew 7:21. Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears, once again, everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house and it fell. And great was its fall. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. They heard these things and they were astonished at what he said. There may be some listening this morning who ought to be astonished at what's being said. It's not those who are hearers, but those who are doers of the word. It's not those who just say, I've heard all these things. I know what I ought to do. I know what I ought to believe. I grew up within the church. But those who look and say, he says that I am a sinner. He says that I am dead of my sins and trespasses, and I am in desperate need of grace. I'm in desperate need to have my sins placed upon Christ upon the cross and have his righteousness placed upon me and to follow him all the days of my life because I'm a sinner who needs Christ and my only hope for salvation is in him. That's where every one of us ought to be. And yet it is possible that there's someone who is here this morning who would not fall into that category, but falls into a category of a foolish person who hears the sayings and does not do them, and it is like a person who's built their house on sand. They hear something, but their life is such that it's like it's just simply built on sand. And so the warning, as you go through Scripture, goes out to those over and over again. Let's look at Romans 2:14. For when Gentiles who do not have the law, by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them. There are those that do not have the law, but God says they're a law to themselves. The work of the law was written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness. It's written upon their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness. It doesn't matter where you go, any place in the world, and what it is that the person has heard of in the past, but when you steal something from them, they don't like that. They just don't like it. No matter where you go in the world, if you go to the deepest parts of China and go and slap somebody, it's not going to go well for you. It doesn't matter where you go in the world. But when you kill somebody who you just have killed in murder, you will be punished. You don't have to have all of the Old Testament law to be in a place of, okay, now I know that those certain things are wrong. There are certain aspects that are in God's revealed word that you look at and it comes off the page and you're looking, I didn't know before that that was wrong. Now I do. But there's other aspects just that are found within the law that's written on our heart and within our own conscience that makes it so that we know that certain things are wrong. I don't have to teach my 1.5-year-old that when Jonathan takes something from her to get upset about it, she just starts crying and swinging and mad because that was hers. It's something where it's just innate within. They know, like, he did something he should not have done. And God says they will be judged. Even though they haven't heard the law as far as the writings of Scripture, they still will be judged by the law because they're a law to themselves. In verse 16, it says, in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. He knows all things. There's no place where you can hide from him. You can be in a place of looking as if everything's okay. I do all the right things. And yet, he's the one who says, I will say to them, depart from me. I didn't know you. He knows everything that is a part of us. He knows the secrets. In verse 17, it says, indeed, you are called a Jew and rest on the law and make your boast in God. And you know his will and approve of the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law. And you're confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, instructor of the foolish, teacher of babes, having a form of knowledge and truth in the law. You call yourself a Jew. You rest on the law. You look at it and you say, I've done everything. Everything that I'm supposed to do, I've done. I look at what I'm supposed to do and I've done it all. Paul here is not being anti-Semitic at all. He is doing the most loving thing that he possibly could do as far as right now, your hope is in you've done all of these things, but your hearts are still hard and you have not repented. You haven't trusted in the Messiah who has been given to you to trust in him for your salvation. You say that you do all these things. You boast in that you are boasting in God. You look and you say, I thank God that I'm not like these other people. I thank God that I'm not like this tax collector, this sinner. I thank God that I'm not like them. I thank God that we are a part of Israel. I thank God that we are God's chosen people and we're doing all these things. And here the Holy Spirit speaks to a person that would fall into that category and just say, no, you boast in these things. You call yourself a Jew, you rest on the law, you make your boast in God, you know his will, you approve of the things that are excellent, been instructed out of the law, you know all these things, and yet they're still in a place of unrepentance and their hearts are still hard. There has been no change that's taken place within their heart. And so God here is saying, you still will be judged even though you know all these things. And let's translate that into what may apply to more people here this morning, and that is those that would call themselves a Christian. And they rest on the law. They know what they're supposed to do. They make their boast in God. Yeah, I believe in him. I believe in the man upstairs. I believe in him. They approve of the things that are excellent, or they know his will. They know what's right, and they approve of the things that are excellent. They look and they say, you shouldn't do that. You should live like this. That's not right. Been instructed out of the law, and they're confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness. Matthew 15:14 refers to those who are Pharisees, saying they are blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. They're blind, and yet they're leaders of blind people. They think that they know, and they say, follow me, and yet they're blind as well. In Sudan, I've seen several people in Sudan who are blind, and a lot of times it's people who are older, but there's problems such as river blindness there that comes in as there's these parasites that go into their eye and cause them to go blind, and so you'll see a little boy with a stick, a long stick, and the blind person's holding the other end of the stick, and you'll just see them walking throughout villages, and there's someone who's always guiding the blind man wherever he's supposed to go, the blind woman wherever she's supposed to go. Jesus says, there's blind people who are leading the blind. They think that they see. They think that they know what's right, and yet he says you don't. You're an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having a form of knowledge and truth in the law. Verse 21, you therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say, do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? He's going through and taking a look at the Ten Commandments. We look at the Ten Commandments and we see that you shall have no other gods before me, God says. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. You shall remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor your father and mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall neither covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. And so here Paul is going through these things and he's saying, you look at yourself and you say, don't steal. And yet God's saying, but you steal. You know not to steal, and yet you steal from your employees. Pay them what they deserve. You cheat and steal on your taxes. You go through and there's no problem as far as just taking something that's not yours. I had a real struggle when I was in my early 20s because my bank had put, I don't even remember the number right now, but I think it was like over 20 grand in my bank account. And just know, like, it didn't normally look like that. And I remember seeing it. I went to my ATM and looked. I'm like, I'm rich. Like, what has happened? And I looked, there was a deposit that was made that I did not make. And I had a friend that worked at the bank. And I said, look what's happened. And he said, yeah, you could close your account right now. And there's nothing they could do. They made the mistake. And I thought, but I didn't earn it. Like someone else earned it. Now, without a doubt, the bank that I was under had a lot of money, a lot more than I did, but it didn't make it right. And so I went to the bank and I told them, I said, like, there's money that's in my account and it's not mine. You guys need to look at that. And they said, okay, well, we'll do some research on it. If it's there after 30 days, then we won't make any changes. It'll be yours. On the 29th day, gone. I mean, I was thinking like, what could I get? I mean, it was exciting for me. I was like, I did my job. I told them it's God so good to me, and he was good to me, and that he just took it away. I didn't need it. But there's a possibility of being in a place of, they have so much, they'll never know. And yet, God says, you say these things, but you don't do it. In Malachi 3:8, he says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? And God says, in tithes and offerings. You are cursed with the curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessings that there will not be room enough to receive it. God refers to that in reference in the Old Testament to, will man rob me? He's robbed me in his tithes and offerings. And so he's speaking with these people who look and say, well, I don't steal. And God's saying, but you did. I don't commit adultery. And God says, but if you even look at a woman and lust after her in your heart, you've already committed adultery in your heart. You say that you abhor idols, but do you rob the temples? You say you abhor idols, that you don't like it, but are you a part of those that have gone into the temples and have taken those things that have come out and used them for gain? You make your boast in the law, yet do you dishonor God through the breaking of the law? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. We'll continue in this as we look at next week at the next section. But I don't want to end on that note. Bible says to make your calling and make your election sure. 2 Peter 1:10. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. There's three different types of people that we've looked at this morning. There's one who does not have the law, and yet they still will be under God's wrath. There's those who have the law, and there's still hardness of heart. And then there's those who have believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. My prayer is that there wouldn't be a single person who leaves our church this morning who does not have assurance of their salvation. Let me read some text to you. John 3:36. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. He who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Do you believe in Christ this morning? You trust in Christ for your salvation? Do you look upon what he's done upon the cross for you and say, all of my hope for going to heaven is in the fact that he took my sins upon himself and he gave me his righteousness? He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Do you believe in him? John 5:24, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Have you heard God's word and do you believe in Christ? Acts 2:21, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you called out to him saying, God, please forgive me of my sins? Please forgive me of my sins. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. John 20:31. These things were written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Do you see changes that have taken place in your life? 1 John 3:14, and we know that we've passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Has there been a change that's taken place in your life where you love the brethren? You know you've passed from death to life because you love the brethren. You love God's people. You love the church. You desire to obey his commandments. You'll know them by their fruit, God says. Has there been a change? Do you hate sin? Do you love righteousness? Do you hope in the work of Christ upon the cross? Lastly, Colossians 1:13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us in the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins comes through the redemption that comes from his blood, the work of Christ upon the cross. Best news that any of us could ever hear, and to know that we fall into that category of those who have been saved as a gift of God by grace through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's nothing that we could ever do. It's all the work of Christ upon the cross. I pray that there is not a young person here in this church, a spouse that comes because they feel like they have to, someone who comes because they just feel like this is what they're supposed to do, who leaves this place still in that place that Christ was referring to in the book of Romans, where they have the law, they think they know right, but still he doesn't know you because your hope and your trust is in your own righteousness rather than the work of Christ upon the cross. May we be a church that has people who come to salvation on days like today. On days like today. You hear the word, and the Holy Spirit penetrates your heart, and he changes you, and you come to salvation, and you realize all my hope needs to be in him, and I have not seen an inkling of fruit in my life. I need to pray that he saves me on this day. And then watch God do incredible work in your life as he works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. As he who began the good work in you will be faithful to complete it. I pray that there would not be one person who leaves this morning without knowing with absolute assurance that they belong to him because all of their hope is in Christ. Amen. Let's pray and then we'll close with a song of worship. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word this morning. A passage that enables us to see your justice, your goodness, your grace. Thank you so much that we heard the gospel, that we saw the law and saw our failure in obeying the law and saw our sin and came to repentance. It's all the work of your Holy Spirit upon our lives, and we praise you for that this day. And we thank you that you could take the heart of a young person or an older person who thinks that they do all the right things and yet they're still far from you, and you can just cause their blindness to be removed and enable them to see this morning and help them to see that when there has been no conviction of sin and no desire for holiness, where there's been no chastening of those who have gone away, it makes evident that they don't belong to you, and that by your Holy Spirit you can draw them and bring them to salvation on a day like today. To regardless of how everybody else has seen them, on this day you can hurl their sins into the depths of the sea and remember them no more. Move them as far as the east is from the west. You can do that by your grace. Solely by faith in the work of Christ upon the cross, you do that. May our sanctuary be filled this morning with those who are saved singing praises to our Savior. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand together.